Morning, members. Ms. Lalani is unable to be here today. The committee will now proceed to electing an acting chairperson. May I have nominations for acting chairperson? Ms. Manana.
Thank you, Tunei. I'll propose Mr. Ralikoma, Honorable Strike.
Thank you. Are there any further nominations? Mr. Mercy? No, there are no further nominations. Therefore, Mr. Ralikoma is elected as acting chairperson.
Thank you, honorable members. Welcome our friend. He's been missing for quite some time. we were worried that something has happened to you. Welcome. Members, we circulated the agenda before you. I want us to include the oversight report, Western Cape. You have circulated it. Yeah, the program, yeah. The oversight program starting on the 31st of July, so that at least all of us, we can be aware that from the 31st of July, that is the program, if we want to add or... Is it agreed that we add it on the, as a third item? And then the fourth then will be if there are announcements. Apologies, as you know, the chair has apologized. You heard from the service. Can we then welcome the delegation from Lotto? Welcome the chair. Prof, the CEO, also the commissioner, Mayor Mampani, Mr. Philemon Letwaba, Mr. Edwin Ngula, as well as the company secretary. I know that there is also somebody that works in the office of Ms. Marcel Massin, Western Cape National Lottery Commission. She's also part of the delegation. With that, I want to hand over to the chair to tell us to, you'll tell us who is going to be responsible for presentation, because you are in charge of this delegation. Oh, just before that, yes, Chief.
Procedure of the meeting. Let the agenda be adopted first.
Oh, I thought we adopted it when I made changes. But can we formally do that?
Shall I move for adoption?
You move, Mtongo.
I
second.
Yes.
So the agenda has been adopted? Okay. do we have the presentation? Can we agree that we'll use the copy that we have? Okay. Over to you, Prof.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members of the August House. Yes, indeed, we received your request to come and account as the organization. How we are going to conduct ourselves is in this fashion. I'll introduce more especially the new board. It's no longer the old board. Here I just came with a member of the distributing agency, the commissioner, and the acting grant funding executive, as well as the new company secretary and the provincial manager of the Western Cape office. You are aware that we have offices in all the provinces wherein people shouldn't go to Pretoria to submit or to request. They have to go to the nearest office. We have got a new board. That's the item number two. Then we'll go to overview of Sports DA, that is the distributing agency, challenges with amended legislation that members of the portfolio committee might want to hear where lies the problems with the new act, the legislative framework, NLC strategic priorities, that which we want to do during this financial year. NLC funding structure, how do we want to change the funding from the type of funding that we have been doing throughout from since the inception of the NLC. Sector budgets, how much sport is getting and how much charity and arts are getting. NLC 2018 priorities, that is with regard to sports and any other thing that the committee would want to know. The board of the NLC, I think you are aware that we are no longer the National Lottery Board. We are now the commission. That means that the CEO has changed the role of a CEO to be a commissioner with a board. So we are the board of directors of the commission, which is called National Lotteries Commission. The earlier connotation was confusing because there was no difference between the board and the organization. Now, the board is board of directors of the commission. The organization is a commission now. I'm the chairperson, and the commissioner is Ms. Mampane. Then we have the company secretary, Nompumelelo Nene. New members of the board are as follows. We have got Advocate William Elias Huma, Ms. Sophie Tabang Pepikekana, that is the other remaining board member, Ms. Doris Dondur, Dr. Mutwadini Alfred Mazibandira, Mr. Yaswant Navotham Godan, Ms. Zandile Nkonyane, representing the shareholder, that is the DTI. Well, let's quickly go to the distributing agency. The distributing agency of sport and recreation is appointed in terms of the amended legislation that says members of the distributing agency shall be appointed for a period of 5 years, which may be renewed only once, to serve on a full-time basis as members of the distributing agency and staff members of the commission responsible for adjudication of applications for grants. In a nutshell, it means that the new legislation empowers the minister and the department to appoint men and women who will work full-time, no longer part-time. In the past, we used to depend on whether they are free. If they are free, they will be called to come and adjudicate. This time, all distributing agencies must be full-time. But I must indicate that the sport one, interviews have been conducted. We are still waiting for the DTI to give us the names of those who are appointed to serve as full-time. The arts, culture, and national heritage, they are full-time. They work from the morning until, in fact, they are employees. The charities are also employees of the NLC, with exception of the sports for now. But I'm waiting for the letter from the minister. This week it may come, but we know that interviews were conducted. We are just waiting for the SASA, investigation of the members, so that at least we appoint people without any question. To date, the charities, DA, arts are in our offices. They are full time, with the exception of the sports. Interviews for the sports, as I indicated, have been done. We are praying, and we believe that two members from the old committee also formed the interview. Those who were interviewed, that was Mr. Nula and Adams. They attended the interview, so they might come back. We don't know who will be the chairperson, but at least two members, we are sure of that they will come back. They form the new committee. Challenges with the amended legislation. Briefly, before I give the commissioner and the sport and the recreation distributing agency chair for now. In the new act, chairperson, we thought we are doing things will change. Well, I think even your committees interrogated the act, I know. But now that we are implementing the act, there is one challenge. The new act comes with a what we call cooling off period. What does that mean? It means if you have applied now in June or July, you must use the money for the whole of 12 months. You can't finish the money and come back quickly. You must have 12 months where you are not applying. Now, we thought it will help us to manage the flooding of applications, but it is biting us now. For example, if you talk of school sport is every year. If you talk of SASCOC, SASOC will apply money every year. So it means that with the 12-month cooling off period, you apply this year, you must wait another year without applying, and you'll apply the next year. Now, organizations are up, they are ups in arms outside there. They want to march to the NLC because it means if we've funded 4,000 organizations this year, next year they won't apply, all of them. The legislation, the intention of the legislation was to give newcomers chance to come in and apply while others are still in the cooling off period. However, I met the minister, our minister and the minister of sport because they raised this thing seriously. We do have a solution. I hope the minister will put it in the Gazette. Our belief is that the cooling off period should only restrict people to apply two projects in a year, so that if you apply now, you must finish 12 months and then you can apply again, rather than to finish the project in 6 months and then the application is handed into the NLC on the seventh month. So we believe that if the minister can just change it by means of a government gazette, that can help a lot. The other challenge with the current legislation, it came up with a clause that says the NLC will not fund activities that are performed outside the borders of South Africa. Already, organizations like SASCOC and whatever, they can't get money to go and compete in the Olympics. It barred them. And you know, once the regulations stipulate such, if we do something wrong, we go to jail. They will say, why are you funding organizations that whose activities are outside the borders of South Africa? Even in Zimbabwe, if the organization is going to do something in Zimbabwe, we can't find it. Our hands are tied. Even in Lesotho or Swaziland, we can't find it. So we believe that clause must be, there has to be a rethink. What do we mean? Do we mean that we can't fund a team which is going to represent South Africa outside the country? We have another one, the National Consultative Indaba, which is scheduled for September 2017 to focus on beneficiary challenges. But in a nutshell, I can also mention that there is an ambiguity in the Act of the organ of state. For example, if it is in the arts, an organization like SARA, in terms of if you read the Act as it is, the document that supports the Act, if you read it blindly, it means you can't fund them because it specifies only if it is doing welfare activities. Welfare activities is a broad term. You may find an organization doing something else, but it is welfare in nature. The other matter that I want to raise is the equitable funding skewed to benefit developed organizations. what do we mean? At least the Act is trying to say, NLC, this time fund organizations that will have an impact on the community. You cannot just fund almost every project. At least if you fund, make sure that there are projects that you can tomorrow go and check. This project is still alive. People can see on the ground. So those are the challenges that we need to tackle with in order to make sure that funding is equitable across the spectrum of the sporting activities. I think Ms. Mampane will take you through her work. The chair of the DA, just to tell us what is happening. No, chair of the DA, the abbreviation DA is not a political party. It is a distributing agency. All of them, I remember that sometime when I was addressing the portfolio committee of DTI, I said, DA Sports and Recreation, DA Arts and Culture, DA Charities, DA Miscellaneous, SSU. Hey, there are so many DAs in the NLC. It's not a political party. I'm sorry.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just to add what the chairperson of the board have alluded to, especially with regards to the challenges with the amended legislation. Yes, this cooling off period is a very, very serious problem, especially for organizations like SASCOG. I'm sure the members know that SASCOG is responsible to prepare the national teams to participate in big events like the Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, and so on. Now, and these games do take place almost every year. So if then they are subjected to this cooling off period, it definitely will impact on the preparation of our national teams, which could lead to them not performing well, you know, at the Commonwealth and the Olympics. It also affects the schools and clubs. We encouraged with the open call for schools to set up facilities, because that's a big problem with the schools, to set up facilities coupled with the purchase of kit. But if a school puts up a facility and it can't be done within a year, which means they've got to, as Prophet said, we'll have to encourage them to apply twice a year so that they can finish the facility. Because the danger is that in our townships, if you put up a facility and wait for some time to get money, it will get vandalized, which means one will have to start, you know, from the beginning. And as such, we've received quite a number of applications from school to put up, you know, combo courts. Now, a combo court enables the school to have a soccer and a rugby field at the same time, and also netball. And also, our argument is that you can't put up a facility without also providing for a kit. So we've made available 300,000 rand to schools, 250,000 for facilities, and then 50,000 for kit, and that has worked very well. We've heard reports from principals where they said they couldn't have sport in their schools because of lack of facilities and kit, but now that has been taken care of by the new legislation. Another good thing about this new legislation is that in order to encourage clubs, because it is also our belief in sport that we need to check up the transformation and the development of grassroots sport. To that extent, we have allowed all the clubs in the past we used to to ask them to present us with audited financial statements. Those of us who have administered sport from long days, we know that most clubs haven't got bank statements. They are run, their affairs are run at times from a boot of a car and so on. So by allowing them to provide us with bank statements, it creates an opportunity for them to take advantage of the funding of the lotto and kind of get some of their facilities up and going, and also allow the clubs to honor their fixtures, which is always a problem, because most clubs are comprised of people that are not employed and all of that. So we've seen now a huge surge by clubs to take advantage of that legislation. So I dare say, Chairperson, the most important, you know, features of sport, that is schools and clubs, is being taken care of, you know, at the NLC. I think that's what I wanted to add, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to take members through what technocrats do in the organization. I think the chairpersons have already alluded to issues pertaining to the mandate. We'll just take you through information on how we implement. Can I just apologize and request Chair and Honorable Members to check page 12 of the presentation, which is a summary of the strategy of the National Lotteries Commission. I know that from time to time when we appear before you, Chair and Members, we get to take you through this information just so that we can position or give an idea of some of the important aspects of the mandate from the board that we get to internalize and embed in the organization. The vision is still for us to be a catalyst for social upliftment. Our mission is to regulate all lotteries and sports pools with integrity and ensure the protection of all participants, that we maximize revenue to good causes in a responsible manner, that we distribute funds equitably and expeditiously. For us, you know, out of all the three issues there, that's what becomes very critical for the organization and across all the sectors that we are responsible for. Our outcomes, as agreed upon even with the Department of Trade and Industry, is that we will have a competent, capable, and relevant national lottery built. We'll have compliant and regulated lottery industry receptive to the National Lotteries Commission mandate, that there will be fair and equitable distribution of grant funding. Our objectives that we get to report upon, and I think it's also important for us to highlight to this committee that surely for the third year in succession we'll be posting a 100% performance based on the strategic objectives and the targets that we have delivered on. And our main four programs under those objectives are the effective and efficient administration of the National Lotteries Commission, the financial sustainability, control and discipline in line with applicable legislation, that will consider initiatives geared towards ensuring compliance with the Lotteries Act, and once more, the critical one, that there will be fair and equitable grant allocations. Our performance indicators are listed there, but I would like to take members to the ones that appear on the extreme right, because they gel nicely as well with the program above of fair and equitable grant allocations. In the amended legislation, the National Lotteries Commission is now required to make sure that we our turnaround time for applications is 150 days. And Chair and Members, we can proudly say in the sports sector, we do not have a backlog at all. We have also opened the system. We no longer have what we used to do previously, whereby there would be a call for applications. Anytime when there's a project, there is a need, the beneficiary is at liberty to submit an application at our offices or through post. We are at a point where we are working on ensuring that before the end of the year, something that we will launch at the Indaba, that we will have online applications so that we can make it easy for South Africans to access the National Lotteries Commission funds. We continue to distribute 5% of the budget across all the provinces, and especially in sports. The acting executive of grant funding, whose designation is a permanent CFO of the National Lotteries Commission, will take the members through that information. We conduct site visits just to ensure that we follow where the money goes, and we get to make sure that there's impact in different communities, and we have capacitated that area in the organization to ensure that that is achieved. Now, I apologize once more, members. I will take you back then to slide number 9, and thereafter we'll follow the sequence like that. Just a reminder that the National Lotteries Commission was established in terms of the framework. The National Lotteries Commission was established in terms of Section 2 of Act Number 32 of 2013, as amended. Among the key functions of the National Lotteries Commission in this Section 2 of the Act, there is an indication there that the Commission may, upon request by the Minister, Board, or on its own initiative, in consultation with the Board, conduct research on worthy courses that may be funded without lodging an application as prescribed by the Act. So we are highlighting this important section of the Act, which I nearly missed, because it is very critical for members to know that in some instances, especially with what the chairman got to indicate earlier on, there will be areas where a need will be identified as a place where a particular infrastructure or building could be erected to help people in the sporting fraternity to do their work. Some of those are, for instance, sports centers. Some of those are sports grounds. So there are projects whereby the board, the minister, or the commission itself can identify a place and indicate that at that particular place, there has to be a particular structure erected to facilitate development in the sporting fraternity. Our funding model has not changed from what we presented last time, and that is slide 10. We do have a situation whereby we proactively fund, and that is linked to what I've just said as an example of the Section 2 of the amended legislation. That in terms of that proactive funding, nothing gets funded without research, and when a project has been identified for funding, we send a team of researchers and monitoring and evaluation specialists to go and check whether that particular project will benefit the community. Thereafter, the board or the distributing agency gets to look at the project as it will be presented by grant funding. Then the funding gets allocated to the project. The other one on the left-hand side is the normal one that chair and members will know about, that we still fund NGOs and NPOs only. Our funding is application-based. The only difference is that we don't have a situation where we call for applications like we used to do in the past. If you have a project in the village tomorrow or anywhere, and just make sure that there is enough time, we indicated that we take 150 days to prepare the application and for it to be adjudicated. Make sure that you give enough time. The chair earlier on got to talk about school sports. Mr. Ngula has just been adjudicating a matter which has to do with university sport. The organization applied in January. The activity is happening in August. So there's been enough time to interact, to get the organization to correct where there were problems, because I think we were having challenges of some reports that wouldn't have been submitted. Even if some were submitted, they were not properly done. We have come up with a developmental approach in the organization whereby we no longer just send people back and say there is no money. We try to sit down and allocate staff members to capacitate the beneficiaries and to make sure that ultimately they achieve or they access our funding. So we still have the application-based funding. The only other important thing which the acting executive will allude to is about the objectives for funding for this financial year, so that we don't go into a situation where we fund everything like we used to do previously. So the applications still get submitted. They go through the whole grant funding process where they are assessed and they are adjudicated by a team of members of the distributing agency. And thereafter, monitoring and evaluation goes back to look at the impact. And afterwards, we have to demonstrate and communicate the relevance of success to different communities. So upon completion of these important projects, we always go to communities and also take that opportunity to hand over the project to the community. Because even if there is an individual who applied as an NPO or it's four or five people, fact of the matter is the project gets funded because the objective is for the project to benefit the community. We also have amended regulations because the legislation was amended. And in terms of grant funding, regulations relating to the allocation of money in the NLDTF, the chair and members would know that there were changes with amended legislation. Sports previously would have been allocated 23% of the budget, but after the amended legislation, sports then took the position of arts and culture. We've been in trouble for that, and sports is getting 28% of the budget. The CFO will talk about what it means monetarily. It's in the range of 400 million. 47% goes to charities, 23 to us, and 2 to miscellaneous. Luckily, our chairman, Professor Nebutanda, no longer chairs that structure that no longer has money. There's a different arrangement in terms of who gets to allocate money in miscellaneous. We also have moved and are trying to empower those small organizations that are starting to apply. We have small grants. We started 500,000 and it's for first-time applicants. We have medium grants that are from 500,000 to 5 million, and we have large grants that starts at 5 million. We also have multi-year funding. So it shouldn't be a contradiction that earlier on the chair got to talk about the cooling off period, that if you have been given money in June, you cannot access money until June the following year. If it's a multi-year project, obviously it will mean that the cooling off period will kick in upon completion of the multi-year funding. Now, in terms of direction for distributing agencies in determining the distribution of funds from NLDTF, we do approach this in different ways and get to engage with the board, which gives the mandate also as the custodian of the fund, to make sure that we set caps for funding, that there's continuous education and awareness. After allocating funds, we don't just leave beneficiaries, we capacitate them, and that is enacted in legislation. And because now we have full-time distributing agency, there's enough focus to look at education and awareness, to do research, as well as capacity building. We have started to enforce the 150 days target. We've just been through audit. We started with the two sectors in October, and the auditors got to audit that area. To this date, we have delivered in terms of the 150 days turnaround. The only challenge that we have had has been with the projects for charities, because a while ago, it must have been in 2015, we would have received more than 18,000 applications. And it's about capacity in the organization to deal with that. It's not relevant to you members, but where we are now, I think we left with 3,000 applications only in charities to complete. But sports doesn't have any backlog, and we make sure that after adjudication, reviews are finalized within the 90 days. Thank you, and I will hand over to the acting executive to take you through the monies, the projects, and what has been happening in the different provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will be taking you through to the operational issues in relation to grant funding. And we'll begin on slide 14, which is in your presentation, just for the members to also appreciate how the NLC gets funded, that the NLC is not funded from the fiscus. It is funded through a license that the minister gets to issue every 8 years to the operator. So I will be taking you through that structure so that we have an understanding on that. The NLC, or the NLC through the NLDTF, which is the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund, which is also funded in the Act, gets to get money from the operator, who is currently ETUBA. The percentage ranges between 25 to 30%. It is on a sliding scale percentage that gets allocated to NLDTF for one, to run the operational activities of the NLC, and secondly, to run the distribution to good causes to all the various sectors that we've alluded to throughout the presentation. But also, in addition to the share of game sales, there is also some funds that we get from the investments that we make on the reserves that we keep, strategic reserves that we keep as an organization, and those assist in funding the operational activities of the NLC. In terms of the NLDTF, and earlier on, the commissioner will have indicated that the money that we get, which is the residual money after taking out the operational monies allocated to NLC, gets allocated to us, culture and heritage, at 23%, charities at 47%, sports at 28%, and lastly on miscellaneous at 2%. And all this gets distributed through those two methods that have been alluded to, proactive funding as well as the application funding based. We are also required, in terms of the regulations, to distribute a minimum of 5% to all the provinces, and this is just to ensure equitable distribution of the funds of the NLDTF. And this, the Commission has monitored very closely, and for the past 2 years, we've been achieving that 5% minimum percentages as required by the regulations. And as we can see there, that the provinces that have not performed very well, it's your Northern Cape as well as your Northwest. And those are the provinces of focus in the current financial year to ensure that we use other means to ensure that we make that minimum 5%, whether through proactive funding or through other means in terms of education and awareness as required by the Act. The next slide is just to talk to the comparison in terms of the 2016-17 financial year. Members will know that we are in the middle or just in the first quarter of 2017-18. So the latest figures that we have got for you, it is the 2016-17 financial year, which are the audited figures. So last year, the budget for the total amounts available for distribution, it was 1.6 billion. And to sports, that 28% amounted to 448 million. Then in terms of the actual amounts that were actually distributed to the sectors is 1.5 billion. And to sports, it is a 438 million. But we also enforce on the fact that, and this comes also as a historical challenge that beneficiaries have been complaining that the NLC is not pay. And we've accelerated that in the past 2 years. And that is clear in terms of the amounts that we are paying. The cash dispersed last year is 1.9 billion. And this members, it includes 60% of the amounts coming from or distributed or allocated in the 2016-17 financial year, and the rest comes from the historical liabilities that have been sitting. So we are on a historical, on an acceleration path in terms of ensuring that beneficiaries out there, they get the monies that are approved, and hence that 1.9 billion. On slide 17, in terms of the comparison between 2015, 2016, 2016, 2017, specifically in sports allocations, in 2015-16, it was 611 million. And in 2016-17, it was 438. And we have subsequently then paid 739 million in 2015-16 and 508 million in 2016-17. Now, in terms of the provincial splits, on slide 18, you will see the allocations per provinces in terms of, and I won't read all those figures there, but bottom line, the allocation stands at 438.38 against a total payment of 508 million. And you can see that it's a Free State where there's a bit of a challenge in terms of getting the applications from those areas, and as well as the Northwest, as I've indicated, in terms of getting the applications. The Northern Cape, we were assisted last year, I think, by the proactive funding that we've done. We have funded a sports center in the Solplaag University at an amount of 23 million, and also the University of Mpumalanga. We funded a sports center there at the amount of 23 million as well. On slide 19, members, is just an allocation in terms of the type of investments that we do within the sports. And all of that is categorized. We've got operational cost, and it totals the total amount that we've allocated last year. So towards operational cost, 22 million went to organizations. We've also funded kids' playground equipment at an amount of 1.7 million. We funded fencing at 1.9 million, combi courts at 35 million, athletics fields at 75,000, netball courts at 2.6 million, and the list goes on. The construction and upgrading of sports field we funded at 45 million, and the biggest being the administration of leagues and international games, as well as traveling arrangements to that of 48 million and 53 million. And this, members, as indicated, we are now going to have a challenge because it was mostly going to the athletics internationally, and so forth. So given the current legislation, there are those restrictive measures that are included in the legislation. But I think amongst all of them, we have significantly funded the sports equipment at an amount of 88 million last year. And this, we've ensured that it goes to the deep rural villages across the provinces of South Africa. Now, the priorities for sports and recreation for 2017-18. So what we do here, members, is that every year, in as much as we've opened the call that we accept any application anytime, it has to be aligned to the priorities of that particular financial year. And that is to ensure that our funding is targeted and impactful in terms of the priorities of government. And for the 2017-18 financial year, on National Sports Federation, the focus is on transformation, international participation, domestic participation, as well as capacity building and empowerment. At the provincial federation level, we are looking at transformation and development, domestic participation, training and development of coaches and lottery-funded clubs, as well as schools. The affiliates to provincial federations, we look at participations in the leagues, purchase of sports equipment, transformation and development, as well as training and development. On sports clubs and football academies, we look at new basic sports facilities, upgrading of the existing sports facilities, as well as participation in the leagues. And also, the focus on the public schools. We look at the new basic equipment, the purchase of apparels, as well as upgrading of existing facilities for quintile 1, 2, and 3. And lastly, on sports NGOs, the implementation of sports and recreation-based programs in the communities. So those are the priorities that we have set ourselves to focus on in the 2017-18 financial year, quite aligned to the priorities of government as well as the targeted areas of the NLC within the sports sector. But we also are required by the Act as well as the regulations to ensure that there is capacity building on the beneficiaries that we fund. And that is a legislative requirement. So what we do is that we focus on governance, we focus on finance, we focus on reporting on the organizations that we fund. And this is targeted capacity building where we use the muscle that we've got in all the provinces to go to communities and ensure that those that benefit from the fund of the NLC, the NLDTF, are able to report so that they are able to get funding next time they require funding. We strengthen their governance structure as well as ensure that their finances are spent according to what has been applied for at the NLC. So this is more focused within the rural villages as well to those people who really do not have a high level of education. We assist in capacity building. But also, we also focus on education and awareness. And this is coordinated at provincial level. It addresses specific needs based on the target audience. We create awareness on fraudulent activities, as well as those consultants who purpose to represent NLC at the provincial and as well as in the local communities that we are funding. But we also stress the fact that NLC does not fund through the consultants, it does not fund through any intermediary. And that is why the regulations are so enabling that even if you don't have financial statements, you still qualify for funding. We also look at awareness on how to access funds and compliance with the required documentation. And lastly, members, we do a stringent monitoring and evaluation on the projects that we fund. We have decentralized this function to all the provinces, so we've got capacity in all the 9 provinces in terms of M&E. We've got dedicated teams of monitoring and evaluations per province to make sure that they go to all the funded organizations to ensure that the funding is spent according to the grant agreement. We do also monitoring of infrastructure projects through a panel of engineers. So what we've done last year, that once we have taken a decision to now focus on funding for impact as well as creating a base upon which these activities are to perform, which is more on infrastructural activities, we've appointed a panel of engineers to assist the NLC in quality assuring all those facilities that we're building. A continuous site visits in terms of the programs that we're funding, as well as financial monitoring that is also conducted at the local level. We also ensure that reporting is done as per the signed agreement. So we have decentralized all these activities, members, to ensure that our beneficiaries in the provinces are capacitated to access the funding for the NLC. And thank you.
Chair, maybe before I hand it over to you, let's go back to slide number 18. I'm sure it might have shocked a lot of honorable members. If you look at the province like Eastern Cape, you see the money that has been paid, 46. The reason is there is a project that I think Mr. Nula will advise me. There was one project worth more than 30 million. So that's why the province scored very high, if you compare it with other provinces. So there is one project which is which has taken more money than the smaller projects added to that money, which is 46. You go to Gauteng, and you say, hey, Gauteng, 214 million. SASCOC is based in Gauteng. It's a national body. You are aware, you are all aware that when they went to the Olympics, Brazil, we paid them 73. And the previous year, I think the very same year, we also paid something like 60. Yeah, they got more than 90. The other thing is, sometimes SASCOC will help a smaller organization that is in partnership. It doesn't mean that that money went to SASCOC, all of it. It went to a baby. We call it a baby. So, but when we do accounting, it is the mother that is accountable. Why? Because the baby went to SASCOC and say, can you assist me to apply? Because I don't have financial statements or the requirements of the NLC. So SASCOC will carry that baby. But usually it must be sport-related, not any other project. You go to Limpopo, you find 67. If I remember well, and I think, yeah, I'm correct, there is a project at Mafefe, which was 35 million, a sport facility that costed the NLC 35 million. So it means one project boosted the province, and it looks like the province got so much money. At least it's only one project. So that goes to all the projects. If you see Mpumalanga, you'll see 21 there. I think it also includes the project that Philemon indicated at the University of Mpumalanga. How much was that? 27 million. So part of that 27 million has already been paid. And when we account for the AG, Auditor General, we include, even if the project is not yet completed, being paid, we include that part payment into the the amount. So that will give you a picture why one province is saving 274 million. It's because of most of national federations. They are based in Gauteng than in other provinces. Cape Town, you find some national federations. Thank you, Chair. Over to you.
Thank you. Can we... There are no additions. You have all spoken. Questions? Honorable Mteka? Honorable Abrahams? Honorable Manana? Honorable Musi, Pagamisi Leba, Honorable Mthlongo, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation that is very clear and straightforward from the lottery. And also appreciate that the main intention is to make sure that the community, the projects getting funding should be the projects that are making impact directly to the communities, because that is the main thing. My main concern was when only these well-advanced and rich organizations getting funded and those poorest of the poor that can hardly qualify for the requirements were not getting funds. But as per their presentation, it shows they've relaxed those tight requirements. So that you can also, those people in rural areas can also benefit from this national lottery grants. My question around the cooling off periods. I'm not yet clear on the solution, because you said it should only apply to those who apply for two or more projects. I just want more clarity on that one, because really, if there is an organization that every year is getting money from the lottery, the village or the township, that which is the home of that organization, should be very, very rich in terms of developments and other things. Those are the things I think the inspectors going out should check on. Because really, if an organization is getting money every year, we expect a lot of change in that community. A lot of change. And it becomes unfair for those who didn't get at all. It becomes very, very unfair. Maybe they can also deal with that, so that we can become clear on how they work around that. And then the issue of the lottery cannot fund activities outside the country. I think activities outside the country, It must be fixed. Because we have people who are South Africans, and then they go outside the country to perform. That is South African playing outside, not a foreigner playing outside. So it should be very clear and be amended if possible. So let's appreciate the turnaround time of 50 or 150 days, if if it can be done, because that is 5 months. And then if the application takes 5 months to get the response, I think it will be better. Unlike you go to the schools, you ask them why these things are like this, and then you don't even apply. They say we applied 3 years ago. They don't know what is happening. So I think 5 months is very fair. Yeah, Chairperson, you are correct. The issue of allocations to the provinces was worrying me, and still now it's still worrying me, because it is going against the principle of 5% distribution per province. It is going against it, because earlier on the I can't remember which page, it was stated that distribution is 5% per province. But now when we come to other provinces, like let me talk about Gauteng. Let SASCOC be classified as national, and then in brackets you'll say SASCOC. Because if we say Gauteng, this document is going to mislead other people who are not sitting in this meeting if they get across it. You understand? But if you're saying SASCOC, I mean national project, then you say SASCOC. Everybody knows SASCOC is national body and like that. But when you say Gauteng, and then it will mean all provinces are undermined, only Gauteng is benefiting. But only to find that it's not the truth. So it shouldn't be like that. And the issue of 5% allocation should be strictly applied, taking out the SASCOC, those national bodies, SAFA. We know SAFA is for every South African, and it's in Gauteng. And now, if all those millions and billions are put under Gauteng, you are giving us a different picture. We want to know the community project, those NPOs and all those things happening in the provinces. What allocation are they getting, except the national bodies? Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm more satisfied.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and I'd like to say thank you for the presenters, and also congratulations on your new board. A question just regarding that is, which portfolio committees participated in the interviews of the board? Because normally portfolio committees participate. Thank you. Then you mentioned when funding is declined that you do get in touch with the organizations, whoever apply. But us working in the community, you find that people always complain that their application has been declined and they don't have any reasons. I don't know if it's true or not, but they always complain that we have tried. Then also regarding the Gauteng, it is a bit confusing, the allocated and the paid. It's not very clear to me when an amount has been allocated and the amount paid. I would think that the allocation is what is approved, and then what is paid should actually be equal to the allocation. Maybe just more clarity on that. Then I've been covered greatly by my colleague about the national, for instance, SASCOC and the other bodies. You've mentioned Western Cape too, but if you do a comparison, Western Cape is 24 million versus 214, where there's also a few national bodies. Just more clarity on that. Then the capacity building, I'd like to say that's very good, because you need to capacitate people when you fund them. Otherwise, you find that they don't understand. When they apply, it looks very good on paper, but they can actually not execute. What is the consequences when you find out that people have misused and abused the funds? And also, do they get disqualified the next time when they apply again? You see in the community, people have applied for certain things, but they're all driving fancy cars with lot of names on it. Then, also more clarity on the SASCOC carry the baby. How correct is this? Because if people don't qualify, organizations don't qualify, is it correct for a body like SASCOC to then say, okay, fine, let's carry the baby because you're doing a good project? Why don't you then capacitate them and tell them why they didn't qualify so that they can qualify on their own? otherwise SASCO could be like just scaring every little baby that don't qualify. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks, Prof, for giving up the explanation, because I was asking myself on this page 18, that you have allocated so much money, but you have paid so much money. So thanks for that. And I just want to check your monitoring and evaluation team, that how do they make sure that your advertising board, where you have just assisted the schools or our communities, because there are some other places where you have assisted, but there are no advertising boards, so that everyone can see that the lottery has assisted this community or this school. And since NLC, you are promoting the public knowledge awareness about the processes, the process requirement and qualification relating to the application for grants in terms of the Act. How many provinces have you gone so far for the promotion of the public knowledge and the awareness? And another question, how long does it take for NLC to respond to the applicants if application is unsuccessfully, and usually what will be the reason for the application to be unsuccessfully, since you have provincial offices whereby you are assisting our communities, you teach them how to fill the form, like previously you were telling us that it's because they don't fill the form correct, but now you have these provincial offices. Since you are developing our society there. And I just want to check, because see, lots of money goes to SASCOC as a national exporting body for our country. Does SASCOC account for the money that you always give it to them? Because I remember there was a time where you gave a lot of money to SASCOC, and now there are some other funds that you're not going to use for the overseas competition. How are they going to assist the national players or whoever who's going to participate outside the country? Thank you.
Honorable Musi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Quickly, Chair. The Chairperson of the DA indicated at a certain point there is 250 that is allocated to schools. Now I'm not sure whether it's an amount for schools or it's just an amount per school. I just want clarity on that one. But Chairperson, I also would want to perhaps be briefed, you know, about the Northern Cape and the Northwest. What is actually happening? Because, you know, we are not hearing this for the first time in every instance where there is, financial sports accountability. The Northwest and the Northern Cape are lagging behind. But I also want to check. You indicated there is 150 turnaround period. But there is also this 90 days for review. I'm not sure whether the 90 days it's within the 150. Just a small clarity on that one. I would like to know, Chairperson, whether I as a member can just, you know, I have an influence over the proactive funding. There was an instance where you said proactive and application. Whether I, as a person, as just a member, can assist in identifying perhaps just a place where there is a need of that. But Chairperson, I also, like all members, want to get clarity on this allocated and paid. You see, I understand when you say the allocated was 28 million, and then paid is 23 million. I suppose I understand that there is a part of that is paid to the allocated, but I then get confused when the allocated was 38. I think these are millions, ne, Prof. There is 38 million, but the paid is 46 million. I didn't get confused. That do you perhaps do allocation before you can know the actual cost of the project? I just want you to clarify me on that, because it would be 38, and the next thing is 46 that is paid. I just want it. But lastly, Chair. That's all what I wanted to check. But thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honourable Mufaung.
Thank you, Chair. I welcome the presentation. Chair, I wanted to find out, though, can the DA Chairperson confirm that they've used or they've allocated 70 million for SASCOC for the financial year 2016. Can you confirm what was the allocation? 70 million for 2016. Yeah. It's fine. I'm asking that, and then you spoke of backlogs, and you are saying there are no backlogs in sports, but there are backlogs in other division. How do you work it out? Why sports there are no backlogs, but other division there are backlogs? What strategy do you have for? Because according to the Minister of Trade and there's a statement that says your backlog is 6,000 application of funding. 6,000 application. Now, what strategy do you have? You know, when you talk of equity and fairness, you must not only say with sports only and other charity organization outside sports, because there must be fairness and equitable distribution. On that, Chair, I wanted to find out, you spoke of, through you, Chair, you spoke of a baby. SASCOC has different babies. Can the baby directly ask for funding directly to the lottery? And if yes, I will just make an example. There's a perception that there's no fairness. Only it's perception, maybe, and you'll clear that there's no fairness on your funding allocation. I'll speak of South African Deaf Sports Federation. I think you are aware of them. They're supposed to go to an Olympic game as of July. They've asked for funding directly to you since last year. It's more than 5 months. Your 150 is covered. No response, but you've supported them. I'm not saying you don't support them, but you did not support them for the Olympic. No communication, allegedly. That's what I'm saying, allegedly now, because maybe there are communication to me that are saying there are no communication. Now, what mechanism to follow up on my colleague, MT Manana Wuti? What strategy? Do you acknowledge letters if there's funding? Do you get, if there's rejection, do you inform them that based on this and this, we are rejecting your application? I think she raised that then. I wanted to go back to if the sports, the 28%, if is it not only composition of SASCOC, all other sports event or projects that are funded on this 28%. It's not only SASCOC. I'm going back to page. Would you chair, we don't have a color presentation. On page 15, grant performance per province. You were saying Northwest and Northwest and Northern Cape, they did not perform well. What was the reason? Maybe I must get that. I don't have the clear picture. This picture is not clear, maybe. It's fine. I'll ask the question. Unless it will clear me. But the picture that I have, I don't understand it. Another question on, I'm not a fund on finance. Maybe you'll workshop me. Comparison of allocations. In 2016-17, the budget was 448, and you use the actual, which is it's 438. There's a difference of 9 million. How does it come up? Where is it? How do you budget it? Maybe I need an explanation, and it will go back to page 18. This question, it lies with page 18. Let me go to that page for me to explain. Sorry. I need an explanation as my colleagues, because Ichengisa, there's plus minus 70 million, which in my view, if it's right accounting, it was unbudgeted for. I'll say that, because you have allocation, you have paid. Or maybe you have to explain again to us what is allocation and what is paid. Chair, the concept of, I think maybe we must get an explanation, because even page 18, the equitable distribution is questionable, if you see that. And then it's one of your key performing areas that you must... It's questionable, irrespective that the head office is where or whatever, it's here, but it's questionable. Now, for us to not have this perception that there's favoritism, that must be implemented. There must be fairness, because your monitoring, I think Member Manana covered that. How many staff do you have in Gauteng, as an example, that those are doing a monitoring and evaluation for how many projects? Because you can see exactly, you must understand, if you have 10, 20 projects, you must have more staff to monitor and evaluate. Now, just as an example, give me one project, how many projects in a province, how many staffs do you have for monitoring and evaluation in that province? Perception of covered cost of consultation, okay. How do you conduct the research? Especially on one of your research, you were saying worthy courses that you can just come up with a research in this province. What kind of research do you do? I wanted to find out, are we invited to the Indaba? When is the date? Yes, it's in September, for us to maybe come up with inputs on that. And I believe, Chair, the cooling system has affected so many federations. I have several cases. Now, when will this memo go out? You said the minister, for us to understand it, because I think it has affected several. Luckily, now I understand it. I didn't understand it, the cooling off, which is it was too much. The legislature must change, in other words. Thank you, Chair, on that note.
Okay, thank you. Just a few questions from my side. The SASCOG, I'm covered by Honorable Muteka, because SASCOG is a South African high performance body for South Africa, and they are assisting South African athletes. It's not the foreign athletes. So I think it needs to be clarified. I'm happy that the two ministers are intervening on that score. For us, I mean, it will become worried. We might have to fast track changing or clarifying that legislation or regulations. You are saying it's regulations. My second... I heard you were trying to clarify it, multi-year and cooling. I mean, what is the difference? if you've got multi-year applications, doesn't that deal with the key cooling period? I think the page 15 slide, you need to really explain it better, because I'm not sure you spoke about the provinces getting 5% equitable share, but you also come with performance, and then you've got the Northwest and Northern Cape as the least performers with 6% each. What does performance mean, really? Because I don't understand. Does it mean that out of the 5% that you have allocated them, they could not spend that 5%, or what does it mean? So maybe if you can explain. And members have raised their concern. It's also my concern whether that they will be raised as an audit query. If allocated is so much, and then paid becomes higher, whether that will be raised as an audit query. Or maybe we don't understand. I mean, all members were raising that. But I think we welcome the fact that you are now ensuring that the distributing agencies should be full-time. I mean, that will ensure that the applications are fast-tracked. For our own performances, it might be important to have a list of those 9 provincial offices, so that the people can be referred that, no, there you must go and apply there. Because a lot of people have got the initiatives, but their only challenge is that they don't know how to apply and so on. So if you've got the provincial offices, I think it will also deal with the gap that maybe Northern Cape and Northwest, after you have explained what you mean by performance, maybe that will sort out that gap. Thank you. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Yeah, no, the questions are difficult, but we'll find a way of clarifying. Let me start by the one which is a legislative issue. The legislation says, of the money that you collect from the operator, remember, we are the regulator, the money that we collect, at least each province must be given a minimum of 5%. So in other words, you must do all means to say at least all provinces have been distributed not less than 5. But here is the problem which we are facing. If you go and just after 5%, if you go to Northern Cape and say, no, I'm having a bag of money here, give me the project, it is no longer application-based. The province itself must, after being motivated, they must apply. And it's not only apply. The applications must qualify. Well, I think Honorable Bush, I think we have been coming here, and I think the committee allowed us to go out and do education. We are doing the education every year. In fact, I'm so twice per year, and we have reinforced the education and awareness by making sure that each province must have an office whose function will be to go to the regions to call people to come to the office to know how to apply. Even though we are doing that, our people have got the tendency, and I think, Chair, you'll agree with me, if there is an advertisement of a position in the department, including myself, we hand in applications on the last day. Even if it has been given 2 months, I will wait until the last day. Some of us, sometimes you even involved in an accident rushing to go and submit that tender or that application. So the 5% is a requirement by the Act. The performance, however, I think the commissioner or the executive grant funding will explain. In other words, after you have been given the 5%, you must be able to perform in order for your province to get 6, 7, 8, and it is something that I think even provincial governments, I meet them usually when they do this provincial what do you call them, when they start the year, I go there and address, guys, tell your NPOs, your NGOs to apply. So sometimes I don't know whether the message filters through. Now, coming to the appointment of the board, the committee that, in terms of the Act, that is charged with the responsibility of appointing the board is the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry. Last board, it was every member who went for interviews in the parliament. This time, the DTI, because it's not in the Act that there will be interviews. In the Act, it just says the minister shall appoint. So DTI conducted interviews, but when it came to the interviews of chairpersons, it was done here in Parliament by the very same committee. Cooling off period. I'm happy that the chair also indicated. Cooling off period is explained in this way. According to the new Act, it means if you apply, you must run your project for 12 months. Now, here is the problem. We consider a grant after the last payment. We said you got a grant. If you got the first payment, you didn't get the grant. The grant is when you have finished the money. The last day you receive the last tranche, we regard it as a grant. Now, it means if you got your last payment or your last tranche on the 30th of June, you are going to start counting now according to the Act. You are going to start saying July, month 1, until you reach at 12 months, you must not apply during those months. So that is very, very, it causes a serious problem. It goes to multi-year funding. Multi-year funding, sometimes because of the limited of our resources, we kept it up to 2 years, that we fund you for 2 years. So it means cooling off period will come to you when the second year you get the last tranche. Then you start calculating month 1, 2, 3, 4, until 12. You don't have to move nearer to the NLC offices, you can apply. So what we are saying to the minister, we are saying, Minister, there is a way in which we can control this. Suspend this, this cooling off period. Instead, just say, an organization cannot get funding two fundings in 1 year. You shall have solved the problem. You can't get double funding in 2 years. You get 1 year, in 1 year you get one funding, in 1 year you get one funding. So you shall have solved the problem of organizations waiting to be cooled off, and you can't operate. The organizations that receive the money, some of them, yes, they will be delinquent. What we have is that we have got people who monitor. I cannot safely say that some of them don't get with the matter. It is happening everywhere. People get away with the matter when we know that money has been stolen here. Those who are in, those who do forensics, they will say, no, you are not, you remain innocent until you are proven guilty. So we are trying to follow those projects that we see something has gone on here. We must look for our money. The response to beneficiaries, honourable member, what we do immediately when you and I'm speaking under correction, the technocrats will advise me. Immediately when you your application is with us, if there is a number in that application form, you will get an SMS sometimes before you leave the NLC that your project is number what. Anything, any letter you send to the NLC, you will get such an SMS. Some people sometimes they don't tell the public the truth. They come and the documents are not completed. They are sent back home because this time we don't accept your application if it's not complete. We are applying that the similar way of tender. If you don't have mandatory documents, your tender can't go to the next step. So we tell the organizations to go and rectify everything. The other question, does SASCOC give an account of what they receive? Yes, they do give an account. Because this is how we do it. If we allocate 20 million, we may say we are going to pay this 20 million in three tranches. So it means the first tranche, yes, you can get it there and there, but the second tranche depends on your report. If your report is not satisfactory, we will send it back. And that is where you find many people will lie and say, no, NLC is not responding. It is them that are not satisfying us with their reports. Once the report is satisfied, it goes for payment. Northern Cape and the Northwest, I think it is the problem we are always crying. But I don't know, Commissioner, in other sectors like arts and charities, I think we tried to cover this by coming up with the building of ECD centers across the country. Here we made it. We made a conscious decision. Each province must get 10 ECD centers. So in other words, at least they are equal. It doesn't matter whether you are in Gauteng or whatever. And we welcome the suggestion that I think, Commissioner, we must have another sector called national-based organizations so that they are not counted with other organizations, so that at least honorable members can see where we are lacking. Because now Gauteng seem to be very big because of the national federations, which says, oh, no, I'm also having another organization in Western Cape, in Northern Cape, and Limpopo, and we fund them. But when we do the accounting, we put it under Gauteng. It is something that I think is an eye-opener. We'll make sure that we separate those organizations that are having footprints in all the provinces. The other thing that I think SASCO will come and cry for you to intervene is that we have taken a cautious decision because we're receiving a lot of questions. Why do we have to give SASCO 73 million? Yes, I understand. SASCOC is an organization that is upskilling those that are in the sport. But there is nothing in the law that SASCOC is better than an NGO in Lusikisiki. In the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, it says treat people equal. Until such time that SASCOC convinced the Minister of Trade and the Industry that we want to be the baby of the NLC. For now, SASCOC is just an NPO like any other NPO. If we were not coming here and be educated, otherwise we could even give SASCOC 5 million. Because now, the way SASCOC has become our baby, they even demand administration money. And we are not created to look at SASCOC only. We are created to fund even development at the ground. And that is the approach of the current minister, who says, no, at least I want to see development in the rural areas. It is the question that SASCOC wants to stage a march to the NLC because they are saying, no, we can't run the offices. Where is our money? Well, it is something that the Portfolio Committee on Sport, I think, must handle this. I shared the information with the minister. The reason why SASCOC is registered as an NPO. Initially, when this thing started, SASCOC should have been an organ of the state, so that the Ministry of Sport can come and stand firm and say, "I want money for SASCOC in Parliament." Now it is the baby of the NLC, whereas there is no documentation that says SASCOC is the baby of the NLC. That is something we are battling with, Chairperson. And I think let's start developing those discussions. We'll find a solution. However, saying that, I'm not saying we won't fund SASCOC. We want the medals. We want the medals. But I think even legislators help us to solve this problem. Over to you, Commissioner. And
can I come in? I come in. Yeah. I just wanted to you, Chairperson. I just wanted to let you on these non-performing provinces. There are three of them. That's the Northern, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Free State. We as SPOSDA were much concerned, as the committee is at the moment. And then we then decided to link up with the Sports Confederation, where all the clubs and other things are affiliated to, as well as the provincial offices, and ask them to go through the villages and so on to check why are the applications not coming forth. One thing that is peculiar with, especially Northern, or in fact all three, is the size. Their size are not like the other provinces. Sorry? Yeah, the population is not like other provinces, and also distances, especially with the Northern Cape. The office of the Northern Cape has assured us, as well as the Sports Confederation, that they've done all that is in their power to get the people to apply. So all the applications are there, and there's nothing else that can be done because of the population and the number of clubs in those various provinces. So I want to confirm it here that it's not that we are disadvantaging these provinces, but there's nothing else that you can do because of the population. That's the first point. The first point is a deaf sport. I want to assure the member then that only last week we approved that application. But I'd like to take your particulars at the end of this meeting. There's another one that we are sitting with. That's a Special Olympics that are going to take place in August. This one was referred to another DA because there's a member in the DA for sport that is conflicted. So as normal practice, once there's a member conflicted, we then send it to another DA. So that Special Olympics might be funded, you know, like tomorrow or very soon. Now, there's been a change, ladies and gentlemen, which I think I need to mention here in the processes and the way the office is conducting its business. I've been with the Lotto since 2010. But I can assure you, Chairperson, that at the present moment, there's a lot of urgency. For instance, the provinces have been given an instruction that it's pointless for them to bring applications that are to be declined to the DA because it is time-consuming. So we've given the provinces those powers to decline the applications immediately if they don't comply with the needs or funding. And that's going down very well as a result. The only applications that come to us are the applications that are for funding. Although the declines are also presented to us. And then you also check whether they've been correctly declined or not. And I must say we picked up some where we felt that they shouldn't have been declined. They should be funded. So I'm trying to say, Chairperson, every application that lands in the provincial offices and also the main office in Pretoria is being attended to, like yesterday. So there's been a huge improvement in the communication of the NLC and the various applications. We also asked the provinces, the provincial offices, to sit down with the applicants and advise some of them if there's a need to appeal, and also to explain the reason why there is a decline. But as the members there said, some people will just, you know, give a wrong information, you know, just to present the NLC as a bad one. A point in case, if you take the Chabo, now some journalists we have reported in their newspapers that the NLC has given Border Cricket, which is not performing, 30 million. And yet they've given Cricket South Africa 10 million. But that journalist doesn't tell the people where that 30,000 is going to. And that 30 million is not going to Border. It's going to a village, which is called Chabo, there in the Eastern Cape. And through our funding, it has made a huge impact in that particular area. So I thought I should just raise those. I don't want to get involved with SASCO, but I think let me just have a last bite at it. We have taken a decision, especially with the infighting that is taking place at SASCO. It's ugly, to say the least, very ugly.
So we've taken a decision as the EDA for sport that we're going to treat SASCOC just like all the federations, the national federations. For instance, the federations that are bringing glory to this country in terms of medals and so on is athletics, rowing, and swimming. Now, rather than putting all the money into SASCOC, we're going to ask those federations to apply to us. And instead of us funding a program called GOPEX of SASCOC, which looks after the performing athletes, we're not going to fund that anymore. We're going to ask Athletics South Africa, Swimming South Africa, and Rowing South Africa to identify athletes that have got the potential of bringing medals to this country. And then we'll fund those directly and ask for, you know, for constant report to us. Because we found that it goes into that big pot, and then that big pot also caters for non-important sports like ship sharing and all those kinds of things. I mean, we've got nothing to do with those things. We want to fund, you know, we want to fund federations that are bringing glory to this country. So that's what we've designed upon. And it's not going to be pretty at all, because some of us always argue, SASCOC has got a marketing arm. It has also got a CEO. A duty of a CEO, one of the duties of a CEO is to look for funds. But they're not looking for funds at all, because there's that big pot there. Now, that big pot is going to disappear. It'll be a small pot. But the emphasis is going to dry up. But the emphasis, Chairperson, is going to be on the federations. For instance, the performance of Wade van Niekerk, Semenya, at the recent Complete Olympics, has raised lots of expectations. Suddenly in the villages like Limpopo and over there, there are lots of people running down there because they want to be Semenyas and so on. So we as SASCOC, as the NLC, if we want to fund for impact, we need to look at those things. And also our funding is also dictated to by what is in there in the NDP, as well as the sports policy. Those are the documents that are kind of guiding us how to fund, so that we don't just fund willy-nilly. The last one, Chairperson, which I think I need to mention it here, you'll notice that in some, I just forgot the page, where we've decided that going forward, especially with the national federations, who some of them we've persuaded to transform themselves. So we are saying now for each province which is affiliated to any national federation and the national federation itself, if they apply for funds from us, 50% of that fund must go to transformation and development. But they must provide us the program before we can fund for that. So if there is no development program and there is no agency in transformation, unfortunately, we'll have to decline those federations. I just wanted to mention those few.
Thank you, Chair and members. I think my chairpersons have actually dealt with most of the issues. I just wanted to assure the honourable member that I agree that it is a perception that the NLC doesn't respond to applications. We indicated that we have been mandated by the board to have a developmental approach. It's not about declining and sending people back only. We sit down with them and actually guide them in terms of how they need to improve on the application. However, having said that, the other question that the member alluded to of equitability, that if sports doesn't have backlog, why charities have backlog? I think when you look at the allocation of funds of the budget, you'll recall that we said charities get 47%. It is the biggest sector. When you go out, the last time we went out on a call, it was in 2015, we received 18,000 applications, and the ask was 40 billion rands. And the budget for allocation was 150 million rands. So you can imagine the type of challenges we have to deal with. But every applicant gets to be responded to. There is no applicant that by the end of August, Philemon, will have a problem or complain about the backlog. The statement you alluded to, that the minister got to indicate the 6,000 in the system, it was last week. All our DAs, including the sports one, have been assisting with that backlog. I think this week we started the week, Chair, with about 3,000. So there's an indication that we are doing away with it. And because the system is open, there is nobody who's going to complain about the backlog. It wasn't an issue of equitability. Yes, it was, because necessarily that's the biggest sector. And sports, you know, maybe because they have federations and other approaches to how they apply, we don't get as many applications as it happens, particularly in charities. Chair, Prof. Nevutanda, I thought you would have dealt with the issue of conduit of the baby. My chairman explains that very eloquently. I'm going to be requesting him to cover it as well. On the branding plan for projects that we have funded, MNE is monitoring that, honorable member, because in every grant that we get to allocate, close to 2,000 plus gets allocated just for branding. So it is true that where we find out that our projects have not been branded, we do take those people to task, and we get them to account. The chairman has already spoken about the delinquency committee that we have. There is recourse, there is punishment for people who do not adhere to the grant funding agreement. There are organizations that have been punished to an extent of being instructed by the distributing agency to return part of the funding that would have been allocated to them. There have been instances where people have been reported to the police because, you know, some wrongdoing would have been detected. The allocation to schools, Mr. Ngula, will come back to that. The 6%, yes, it's a 5% a real issue for discussion. But members, I must tell you, I think 3 or 4 years ago, we were struggling even to get to 2%, and that was before the amended legislation, where there was proactive funding, and mainly because the application, the funding is application based, and NPOs and NGOs apply. It is a well-known fact that it is in provinces like the Western Cape and Gauteng and Durban where you find a lot of NPOs and NGOs. There was a year we went out on a drive just to get our officials to go out and help people to apply. We still do that even now. So it has been an issue just for us to get our communities to get on board and apply to be registered with SASSA as NPOs, as NGOs. And as you will know, it's got to do with the history of the country. The minimum 5%, and for those provinces to be at 6%, when you look at the history of the organization, you will see that I think for the past 3 years, there is an improvement. It's a year that we established offices in the provinces, and we already seen the difference that we are at 6%, and we have no doubt that that will continue to grow. But the regulation says the minimum should be 5%. I just want to commit that as an organization, we're looking into that, and it's something that the board keeps on talking to us about. And it appears as well in our APP as an important target. So on a quarterly basis, that gets monitored by the board. And the same applies to monitoring and evaluation and education and awareness. We have committed to X number of workshops and outreach programs. whereby we come back on a quarterly basis to report to the board that this is what has happened, this is what we have found, and this is corrective action that we are putting in place, or corrective measures to improve on the issues that are frustrating people. That 90 days review is when a project has been declined, that you have a grace of 90 days to submit your request for review. And based on the new legislation, the board has been empowered now. It's unlike what used to happen in the past, where people would appeal and find out that the appeal is upheld by the appeals committee. The amended legislation mandates the review committee to actually adjudicate the application from scratch, meaning that if an application has been declined by a distributing agency and somebody gets to apply for a review, should the board sit and find out that there's merit in terms of what has been put on paper by whoever has asked for a review, that application can then be approved by the board and be funded. We're working very hard to educate our people as well about their rights in terms of issues like those. That's why when a project is declined, in that letter, you even get told that you have 90 days grace to apply for a review. Okay, I think we've dealt with most of the issues. The number of staff at the head office, in Johannesburg, we also have a Gauteng office, you know, as a way of saving on costs. So the total number of staff in provinces ranges between 10 and 12. So you will have the provincial office plus members of corporate is less than 60 people that you have at the head office. And the financials, the CFO will deal with. Thank you.
Just before the CFO chairperson addresses the issue of financials, I meant to address the issue of schools when I was doing, but I forgot, because when the politicians are looking at you, you forget even what you wanted to say. Chairperson, this committee, and you are part of it too, and other members I've noticed here, should be commended for getting the NLC to take school sports seriously. 2 years ago, you challenged us. You said, what's the use of you people putting up facilities, and yet you don't provide kids? And then you also challenged us, what are we doing about the Quintel 1, 2, and 3 schools? So we had an open call for Quintel 1, 2, and 3 2 years ago. We then decided in 2016 and 2017 we'll have another open call now for all the schools. And then we decided that we'll make available an amount of 300,000 rand for each school applying, and 250,000 should be for a facility. And most schools are applying for combo courts. Now, combo courts is a combination of rugby and football, athletics, and then also netball. And then 50,000 rand is for kit. So each and every school that applies gets that 300,000 rand. 250,000 for a facility, and the most common one is combo court, and then 50,000 for kit. And the reports we get from principals is that that has raised the interest of kids in sport at the schools, because it has to be like that, because the schools are the factory, you know, for sport. So I thought I should just raise that.
Yes, thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think I'll try and explain this thing in not in financial or accounting terms, but in a very simple understanding. Yeah, yeah. You know, how we budget in the beginning of the year or during the strategic planning period, You do a budget. For example, we've had 1.6 billion in 2016-17. Our process of allocations, if we allocate, for example, all that 1.6 billion during that financial year, it doesn't necessarily mean that
the cash will flow during that financial year, because there are tranche payments. So a project can be approved with a recommendation of two tranche payments, and some of those overlaps into the next financial year. So if we were working on a cash basis, one would say, yes, there is an overspending, but we are honoring the liabilities or the second tranches or the third tranches of last financial year, which overlapped into the current financial year, and hence you'll find that our payments would automatically be more than what we would have had as a budget for that financial year. So that's where you get the difference. So it's the issue of tranches. I hope that one will clarify. So if you come and apply, your application is approved in January, or financial year ends in 31st March. It's approved in January. The recommendation is that you will be paid in two tranches. The first tranche will fall in this current financial year. Automatically, it would mean that your second tranche will automatically fall in the next financial year. So the payments for the next financial year will automatically exceed the allocations. And that is why you look at our financial statements, we are currently sitting with a liability of 1.1 billion. It's a liability that is still due and payable to beneficiaries out there. Many of those are second tranches. People who got the first tranche, they are still using the money, and then they will come back when they meet the milestones that they will have promised to the distributing agency or to the NLC for their second tranche to complete the project. So it is our control measure, Chair, in terms of how we ensure that projects that apply for bigger money, there is a proper monitoring and evaluation and control during the implementation of the project. Pending the progress report, you will then be having a last tranche outstanding. So I think that's one in terms of the budget, and you will see that across all the provinces as well as across all the sectors. But I think maybe just to add to what my chair, as well as the chairperson of the distributing agency, has indicated in relation to the number of the declines in the other provinces, particularly in Northwest, as well as the Northern Cape. In sports, especially in the villages, the village where I'm coming from, you will find that there's a lot of sports clubs. But the requirements to access our funding, that club must be having an entity in the form of an NPO or an NGO that will qualify it to access funding. And that's part of the role that is entrenched within the legislation as well as within our regulations, that we go out there and make sure that the people on the ground understand what are the requirements to access the funding, in that you don't run a sports club in the boot of a car, like Mr. Nula has indicated, that you must formalize so that you are able to access funding from the NLC. And that is why you find that some of those rural provinces, we're still struggling with getting a lot of qualifying applications from those provinces. But our capacity building, as well as M&E in the provinces, has been strengthened, in that in all the applications that are made, you will not enter our system if your application is going to be declined. So we educate you there and there, at the door. When you hand in your application, and on assessment, preliminary assessment, it is found that there are certain things that will not make it to qualify for funding, you are being educated at that level, so that when you go back home, you are able to correct that. And that has given us a lot of mileage, and you will see it in the next financial year, that we are getting a lot of mileage in some of the rural provinces where we have got some of the sports clubs. I think the Chair, that's it. Thank you.
For myself, the last four things that I need to answer. Can any member influence a proactive funding? The Act is very clear. the minister, that is the clause, the minister or the board or the commission on its initiative. If the commission initiates to conduct a research of the wellness of clubs in Mpumalanga, the commission can do that and make a write-up to say we need a ground here. So, and the Act is very brutal on that one. It says without application, the commission can go and make money available to an entity that will report correctly to the NLC. Number two, the minister or the board or the commission can, after making a research, tell the community there to apply. Say, apply this project. For example, the issue of ECD centers. It came from the commission to say, we've got 600 million. We want applications from the communities because we have made a research and look at the NDP as well as statistician, information that came from Statistician General that South Africa, unless we go back to the basic education, we cannot solve the problems. Our education somehow is not correct. If you can compare our education with the Zimbabwean, even old ladies can speak in English because it started from the beginning. So we made 600 million available, and we say the criteria, we are going to give 10 buildings, mortar buildings, in each province, and over 10, what we call it, containers. So some province got 17 containers, 13 containers. So we are going to launch this project with the deputy minister in Northern Cape as a project that we feel NLC has done something that our kids will never forget, that at least they are starting to get into a well-resourced ECD center. Not any member can come to the office and say, I've made a research here. There is need of funding. But, well, if you tell us there's no problem, we'll make sure that the research division in our NLC, in our office, can visit the area and go and identify. The mother and baby issue, when I spoke about SASCOG, this is when the baby does not have financial statements. They can apply. Remember, for example, there is a tournament which is happening now. I think it has started this week, whether it's COSAFA. Now, the applicant does not have an entity, but it is a project of national importance. I don't know, I think they've applied now, but the advice was, you must go to somebody who knows how to apply, and apply to run the COSAFA issue. So then you find that the baby got money from the so-called SASCOG, because SASCOG qualified, and they are trying to carry that baby. That is the mother-baby relationship, which I think the current act is trying to do away by suggesting that if you are less than 6 months, you qualify for 500,000 only. Even if you have got a very big ambition, but you are five months old, you don't have two sets of financial statements, you qualify 500,000. And the medium is 1 million up to 5 million. The large grant, 5 million upwards. So at least the legislation tried to curb so that it can accommodate, you know, the clubs in the rural areas. What type of research do you conduct? It is a project-based research, whether this community needs a project of this nature. If it is a sport here in Kailisha or in Michel's Plain, one day I went there, I realized that there is a lot of an abuse for the drug abuse. That place needs a rehabilitation center in order to correct our community. And it is the appeal of the board that the commissioner must go to all these provinces, or the provinces by themselves must make sure that they conduct researches, because we don't know the areas that are poorly stricken, so that we go and make a project there. Well, the other issue that, because I'm talking to the lawmakers, is that in some of these organizations like SASCOC, sometimes ask the board to come and appear and check who are the members of the board. Because from the hearsays, they have to be proven. There are politicians who are in the board of SASCOC. So how can National Lotteries Commission put money to a person who adjudicates you? It's causing a problem. All of us. That's why Mr. Nmula said, if there is somebody who is affected in the project will be removed from that distributing agency to another agency where the person doesn't have influence. So we are just requesting the honorable committee sometimes to ask the president of SASCOC, who are the members, give us the names, so that you know for yourself, it must not be the NLC. Thank you very much, and I think from ourselves, we will comply with every information that that you need.
I see follow-ups. Let me start with Honorable Manana, Honorable Mthlongo, Honorable Abrahams Musi, Muteka, and then lastly, welcome Honorable Njaisa. And then I'm giving you the last session. Honorable Bethman, you don't want to speak today?
No, I'm listening. I'm
okay. So, Honorable Njaisa, you'll be the last person.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first thing, because I forgot to appreciate what the improvement that they've made from 26% of the allocation of sports and recreation to 28%. And also, I must appreciate the gender in the new board. But my concern about the SASCOC got lots of cash injection from NLC for paying the tailoring oversized ninja tracksuit for Team South Africa, which was totally wrong, and really they still have to account because they are getting a lot of money.
So unfortunately, they are not here. So they are also getting a lot of money on behalf of the federation. I support what the prof has been raised on the on answering our questions about the swimming. I don't know who have just mentioned that the federation like swimming, they must apply directly. So I support that. Or the chairperson of the distributing agency. The distributing agency. I support that chairperson because if the SAFCOC getting a lot of money and sometimes they sanction these federations, but they do have get that money, it's uncalled for. They sometimes sanction those federations. Some of them, they do qualify for Africa. They did meet the African qualifying criteria because SAFCOC can't say anything. They just grab the money, but they tell them that they have to qualify for the international criteria. I don't know how does it work on that one. They still have to come and account for that money. Thank you.
Wrong.
Chair, you know, now and then we call committees or councils like Lotto, we call federation. They'll speak ill against other committee or federation. I'll propose on that note that we call National Lottery Council and SASCOC on the same meeting. That's my proposal for us to deal with these things because it's like they're not here now. It's uncalled for us to entertain. It's like allegation again. Because you were supposed to use that word, because at the end of the day, I'll ask myself, as a politician, am I not allowed to be in any association? Why? As long as I've declared, I'm allowed. I'm just saying, don't say, you're delaying me, just when I talk. You know? Now I'm saying, it's like as a community member, yes, I'm a politician, but I'm allowed to be in association with any, provided right channels, right procedure, you declare. Remember, politicians, they don't only represent politicians. I'm a pastor. I have a church as a politician. Now, I'm just making an example that you can have a check. Can I be
prosecuted? Don't intimidate Honorable Mtongo, please. Otherwise, you know, let me just remind, we have got to exactly an hour now.
And I can intimidate them, they know. I was making an example, but you are allowed as a leader of a community to be associated to any entity. Because you are from a community. We are not just from heaven because you are a politician. Mm-hmm. Now, on that note, I'll propose that we call SASCOC and National Lottery Fund and then sort out issues as they've presented. I wanted to find out how much does it cost for a combo court, just the cost, a standard one, so to say, and wanted to find out, we have buildings or projects or courts or like in Soweto that you've supported, but the white elephant. Now, your monitoring and evaluation is questionable, or if you build it for school or for whatever entity, how do you see it that we use that to full potential? Because you just use funding and you leave it there. There's no follow-up on that. Now, I was questioning even if the response, I did understand it well. 10, you didn't give me the number. You said plus minus 10 or 12 officials that are doing monitoring and evaluation. That I've received. How many projects are they monitoring in evaluation? Now you'll see that, Guti, is there clearly monitoring input and output clearly underlined whereby they go there maybe monthly or whatever format that you are using, which is, I think, that must be adhered to if there is that thing. I wanted to find out, maybe I don't understand, you don't support international participation. Do you support that? Do you subsidize? Do you financially support that or not? That is the last question. Thanks.
Honorable Abrahams.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, my question is relating to the caring of the baby again. I just want to know if this apply to all NGOs when they have the blueprint how to apply, because I found it in my own community that you see that the same people always get funding. Now, maybe it's a good method, but then the baby, when does the baby really get to the other point of applying? Because if you don't qualify in the first instance with your financials, then you won't qualify. My community has been complaining, saying that why do the same people always get funding now? Today I've been answered, but I just want clarity if it's true. Thank you.
Honorable Musi.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. No, let me just thank the two clarities that I got of the Northwest and then. Because I initially thought that they were lacking financial accountability, but I'm glad that that has been clarified. But let me thank the professor again about the clarity on proactive funding. Maybe it was just a question of semantics. I shouldn't have said influence. Perhaps I should have said maybe just an input. But thanks for that, Prof. Chairperson, I just want to check the other part, the act that is amended, amended with that has created some, loopholes as Professor alluded to, and that you intend to go on despite those challenges that you indicated. I'm not sure. I just want to check. Don't you perhaps open yourself for some litigations? If I may just ask, I'm just asking. I'm just curious about that. But again, on the last part I'll think of it. It is just eluded my mind. Thank you.
Honourable Mteka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the principle of direct applications is going to work for us. This thing of mother and baby thing is opening a room for corruption, I'm telling you. The NPOs or whoever qualifies to apply must be trained on how to apply, how to fill forms and all that. Not somebody else. Remember, nothing is for free. This money you think is going to do for this community, only 50% or less is going there. The rest remains with the applicant. You see? So this is just another room for these people. They take a lot of money, and then at the end of the day, it doesn't reach the beneficiaries on the ground. So maybe to remind our colleague Mr. Mshong, Honorable Mshong, the issue of SASCOC, there are questionable things came even before this day. It's not like lottery is bringing issues about SASCOC. We had a very big fight with SASCOC about those very big JCs and whatever, the embarrassment they caused us there. And we are still going to deal with them about that. It's not like now the lottery is bringing their names, what. No, we are on their case anyway. So, and now we know they are the problematic child to the lottery, thinking they are the only NPO that qualifies to apply for the rest. No one must eat for others here. And then the issue of branding, Memamban, is very important. These useless people out there, they claim your facilities because they are not branded. When you ask for something, they say, no, everyone is called, you have done this. I will give you one example. The facility in Genfers at Skukuni district, that facility, last time you told us it was built by lottery, but now is claimed to be built by the local municipality or whatever. So because there's no branding there. from the road there, there must be a branding lottery facility. Yeah, so that everybody can see. Because, okay, let me not go get to politics. Yeah, but those are the things you must deal with, because really it is very painful. Some of us, these sports things, we don't talk about them, we do them there on the ground. And then there's no help from anywhere. There's no help from any, no kids, no, nothing. The committee knows. We buy this the kids for our sports clubs on our own, because there's no help. You'll get help from other entities, which they don't. They are not getting enough funding. What do you call the that one?
Love.
Yeah, Love Life. Love Life doesn't have a budget. They don't have money. You see, they will only give you trophies and medals and all that. At the end of the day, the whole cash must come from you, the organizer of the tournament, all those things. So these people, we are going to encourage them to apply. But remember, rural people, they don't have those financial statements and all this. You'll find new NPO that has never benefited anything, never been in practice before. So they will forever fail for the requirements if they are not guided. Thanks very much.
Okay. Honorable Musi, what you forgot to raise, just raise it quickly and then we'll
thank you, Chairperson, for allowing me that. The question was about that what comrade, what Brother Philemon Ledwaba explained. I like comrades, thank you. Sorry about that. The issue of allocations and paid, you indicated clearly that the reason why there is that, you know, amount that exceeded the allocation, it's because of the trenches that are taking place that you don't have control over. But I want to check, how does it sit with the Auditor General when it overlaps to the next financial year? How does it sit? What is the comment of the Auditor General? Is it not perhaps some kind of an irregular expenditure? I just want to check. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. It's very much unfortunate that I play lotto a lot and don't win a lot. But one day I'll apply for those contributions that I've made. On a serious note, Mr. Chairperson, it's an apology if the question has been responded to in my absence. I'm late and I apologize for that. I just want to find out, because they are saying the applicants will be given the first tranche. Then after that, they've got to give a report. If the report is not satisfactory, then it is returned to them. I just want to know if there is any explanation that is given to this people that you did not satisfy one and two. If that was responded to, say responded in your absence, I would be satisfied. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, over to you, Chair.
Very quickly, we are dealing with the Act. If we do anything outside the Act, it is this House that will say we have appointed useless people. Our Act says the license, that is the one which is with Ituba now, cannot be given to an organization where there is an office bearer of a political party defined in the Act. Now, the Act again bars me, her, him, and Mr. Nula to participate in any organization. If I leave the lottery now, I have to stay 2 years cooling off period. Why? They are afraid of my influence. Now, if we are funding an organization that has four members of a parliament in the organization, what kind of funding are we doing? We are funding politicians. So that is what we are afraid of. And we are not bad-mouthing anybody. We are just saying some of these big organizations help us to correct what we call corporate governance. If you read King 4, King 3, King 4, and good corporate governance, in other words, some of us, even if we are influential, we must run away from being implicated. Otherwise, the public perception will say, you are giving that organization money because there is so and so inside. So I think that is what we are saying, to say no. In every organization that reports to you, whether it is Boxing South Africa, SASCOG, whatever, let's try to tell our members to refrain, even if I'm representing a federation as a member of parliament, I must know the responsibility, that of the organization and that of the parliament. I think we mustn't allow the two roles fight with each other. I may support when I'm outside of the committee, but if I'm inside of the committee, it brings another dimension. So that's what we are raising. The concerns that have been raised by honorable members, we take them seriously. We'll go and correct. The member in front of me raised an issue of the last question was I think it was monitoring and evaluation, but I think his concern was how do we adjudicate the application that we know it is still within the cooling off period. For now, we can't just do the wrong thing. We'll do what the Act is saying until it is this thing, I think the chairperson alluded to, until the minister gives a government gazette to uplift those issues like cooling off period, the activities outside the borders of the Republic. That's what the regulations are saying. So if, say, for example, SASCO comes, or any organization comes, we'll be afraid to fund it. Because if we just fund it, we're going to be arrested. So the minister must intervene so that at least we do the right thing. That's why I think, together with the way how you have advised us, it will strengthen our case. We have already reported this to the portfolio committee of DTI to say these are problematic areas. We need to solve them in order to provide a very efficient funding.
Thank you, Chair and members. I just wanted to acknowledge the advice on branding and back to the issue of monitoring and evaluation. It is proportionate. I think with time, maybe, Chair, when there's an opportunity, we need to talk about other things. The issue of the number of staff who have to do work, administration work. Our budget as the NLC has it's also regulated. We can't spend over 20% on operations, especially on salaries. Money has to go to good causes. So that necessarily creates a challenge in terms of creating a balancing act in terms of the number of warm bodies that you have to bring in versus
the work that needs to be done. But I must assure the member that we're also considering and have implemented other means. We have a GIS system whereby we are able to zoom into areas and see exactly where the project is to make up for the warm bodies that cannot be walking to other areas. Your proposal is noted. It's a work in progress and for purposes of improvement. So the issue around branding, it's well taken. We'll go back and see how we tighten our screws around that area. Thank you.
Mr. Litova?
Yeah, I think let me, the Auditor General audits us.
The Auditor General, Honorable Member, audits us. The overlapping of the tranches, it is allowed. The auditor will see that last year we couldn't finish paying the project. So the last tranche is in another year. So we are proud that last year we got a clean audit using the very same principle of accounting.
You want to add, Mr. Litova?
Yes, Honorable Chair. I think just in addition to what my chair has indicated, I think the issue here, the operations of the NLC is different from your normal department where you are on a cash base that at the end of the year, if you have not used the money, you must take it back to the fiscals. In the NLC, all those outstanding commitments at the end of the year, we have got funds that are waiting to be for those to be fulfilled in the next financial year. And it is in the nature of our business, unfortunately, because those are some of the controls that we've added in terms of ensuring that the projects that we're funding are being executed accordingly, in accordance with the grant agreement, and hence the introduction of the tranche payments. Take for an example, the especially on capital projects, where you are funding for 25 million, 26 million, we don't ordinarily issue all that tranche in the at first instance. It remains a commitment and it gets released in tranches or in phases or milestones according to the project plan. So at the end of every financial year, you find that we still have outstanding liabilities and those remain commitments, and hence the AG will audit to check whether we are still financially viable as an organization that in the foreseeable future will be able to fulfill all those outstanding liabilities that we will have disclosed at the end of the financial year. And hence, it is in the nature of our business that we operate that way, Chair, and totally acceptable in terms of the AG's processes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. We thank you very much for having come, and we've been wanting to have you for quite some time. At least today, we were fortunate that you came and done a presentation. With that, we thank you. We should go to your release.
You are all invited to the Indaba. Lucky enough, the chairperson of the committee, I think, was it the last Indaba?
If you can do it for me, so that
yeah. Now we'll do. Yeah, so that you come and try to argue with members and us to build the commission.
Okay. Thank you very much. You are released because we must go to the next item. We've got 45 minutes now. Members, you want to take a quick break? Okay, let's go to the fourth. Is the fourth? quarter report, ne? Okay, ma'am. Members, you've got the draft report on the fourth quarter there. Did you go through it? And then from there, the last point will be the program. Oversight. Yeah,
Baba. On the oversight, can I go on the oversight?
Oh, you want us to deal with the oversight?
Yeah, please.
So, what are we saying to this? Can we say you'll go through it and then do it, formalize it in the next meeting?
Yeah.
So, members should, in the meantime, ensure that we give Sune the comments, and then maybe then deal with if we agree, then deal with the oversight.
Lovely.
I take it we agree.
We support the chair.
Okay.
On
so the oversight, you did you read it?
Yes.
Okay.
Chair, I have a proposal on the oversight. I'm happy with the program, but the 31st, it's Monday, and Monday is a constituency day.
31st?
July.
It's 31st?
Mondays.
Is it not the
same? Every Monday we're doing constituency work, and I'll propose we move that program to Tuesday and other days, because I'm not available, not only that it's consumer, not all of us are involved in different constituencies. It's a proposal, Chair.
No, I hear you. It's just that we have developed a practice of ignoring constituency day, all of us here. Honorable Bergman, you know, to ensure that we really cover all provinces. That is the practice. In fact, we even ended up ensuring that we leave on a Sunday. I thought the 31st is on a Sunday.
We are doing Western Cape, and I don't think when I check it, it's a good program, but we just have to swap days. Whatever that we're supposed to do it on Monday, can do it on Tuesday. A proposal, I'm not pushing, and then we can link, because we're going to the same area. We're going to George on the 1st of August, and we're going to George again on the 2nd, according to this, if I see it well. One at the George School, there's a school focus, and there's council, and we're going to sleep over at George. Now I'm saying it's either we move it to the 30, the 3rd, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We move it to Thursday. Like from Tuesday till Friday, you come instead. That is my proposal. I was not aware that you guys are not considering Monday as a constituency work.
No,
you are saying it was not debating in your machine. Okay, apologies.
Okay, well, what Sune is saying, maybe will assist, that we do Tuesday, we deal with the metro and the metro and the province, and then the and then that other week, then we complete the other areas. Do you want to make that suggestion, because so that we can ensure that we agree?
Thank you, members. The possibilities are the reason why this was structured, and it's still everything is still very doable if the committee would want to start on the Tuesday. Then I would propose, for practical reasons, that the committee does the meeting with the department on the Tuesday, right? And because then the committee wants to, if the committee wants to fly out on the Thursday back home and not work on the not actually be busy on the Friday and maybe get home Friday mid-afternoon, to complete this on the Thursday, that I think the most practical way would be then to do this item one that I now listed on day two, to move that to the next, because it's in Cape Town, it can be done the next week, which is also oversight week, I think, because that's a three-hour meeting, 3 to 4 hours. Because if the committee does not fly out on the Tuesday, if you have two long meetings on the Tuesday, the flight might become a problem, then we won't be able to drop you in George that evening to wake up early for the Wednesday meeting. That's the only reason why I'm saying this. Otherwise, if there's a flight out, that's obviously still very doable to do both those meetings on the Tuesday. It just is going to depend on the flight. And then obviously, if the committee wants to meet with both sports schools, I heard there are three now, that would be the Culture Fair one and the George one. That's why I started off in George, so that the Wednesday would have had that. But you can still keep those two, the Thursday and the Wednesday, intact. And the only change could be to move the province to the Tuesday and do the metro on another day. But then the academy would also, but these things, because it's all in Cape Town, it's not impossible to do the next week in oversight period.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think Sune was supposed to sit down because we don't have a content advisor. Pumza, we must just request, Pumza must assist Sune on this program, because there is Kaya Licha, Nyanga, whatsoever, but you only see these Kels River, what, here. They must put some of the townships in this program. Thank you.
On that note, Honorable Manana, there were proposed names of black townships. Honorable Manana, there were proposed black townships in this. I do not know what are we going to look at in Hartlevy. For instance, I do not know. I do not know what we're going to look at. I drive past Hartlevy every day. It's well maintained.
Yeah.
Well maintained, all those things. But we did propose black townships. For instance, there's a lot in Langa, a lot of sports in Langa, and there are no facilities. There's hockey, rugby, soccer, and there's a lot that the committee can benefit from that. And we propose that more, including in Khayelitsha. There's completely no infrastructure in Khayelitsha.
Right.
And the issues of, what is this thing, MIG, you can make a strong case for this place. But I propose those names.
Okay. We did.
Okay. You know, members.
Chairperson.
Honorable,
I suggest the office must go back and fix the program, because they can't come and differ in front of us. Let them go and fix it, then we can deal with it later on.
We want
both township and suburb together, not just suburb all the way.
Okay. Can we do this? Can we agree in principle that we from the 31st will avoid the Monday, right? We'll avoid the Monday, and then start on Tuesday. Do Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday ensure that we are finished with it, and then continue with that other week. And then let's try to also cover the township, so that and then you'll see it. But we have agreed that that's the 2 weeks of August. We are going to use it you'll just tighten it. We are going to use it for oversight. Is it agreed? Okay. It's agreed, ne? So on the basis of that, from the week of the 31st, we'll be going on oversight in Western Cape, and then we'll be left with Northern Cape. Because Western Cape is here. I mean, it's very easy that we can do it in 2 weeks. Yeah. We'll see how, because in terms of resources, we can even save, because we can always move from our own villages. Yeah, so we'll be saving. If you can structure it like that, so that you must not come and differ in front of us. It's agreed. And then so that was the last item. Where are the minutes? The minutes of the 13th June. Do we have a problem with the minutes?
No.
The minutes? If we are happy, then somebody must move for the adoption.
Che, can't you just do it procedurally and say page 1, page 2, page 3, then so that we can go even to matter arising off Mthongo, and we go back then we adopt the minutes. You can't just say, can we just, you
okay,
understand
page,
what I mean?
Page 1, page 1. Page 2. Page 2. Page 3. Page 3. Page 4. Page 4. Page 5. Page 5. Page 6. Page 6, page 7, page 7, page 8.
Are we doing
Abraham?
Corrections or matters now?
It's a correction.
Okay, I'll do a matter. Thank you.
If there are no corrections, can we have somebody moving for the adoption, and then from there we'll deal with, once we have adopted, we deal with matters.
Before I move to Chair, can I move for adoption with the addition on political party for Ms. Dlulane, because she doesn't show that on which political party she On page one. Everyone.
On page one.
But I move for adoption.
Page
with
one.
The edition of.
Where is it? Oh, so you have taken note of it. Okay. And then, so you have moved for adoption?
Yeah, the apologies and absences, so that you can know that who were absent, who apologized for that thing.
You remember, last time you wrote it, if you can just correct that. So with those amendments, can we get a second? Honorable Abraham, second.
Thank you,
no?
I second.
So, matters arising, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7.
Page 7.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Vacancy of content advisor, how far is that? Thank you.
Same question.
We met with the manager. I know the chair met with the manager who is responsible for this. So it's still like that because we were even saying then they need to ensure that they get somebody to act formally, but it looks like they haven't done that. So I'll brief the chair that you raised it, so that when we come back, we should really take it up seriously, the issue of the content advisor, or to at least appoint somebody to act formally, because at the moment, the poor Sune is forced to do everything to also comply with her duties to ensure that there are minutes. So she ends up being overworked, really. So I was just reporting that the chair met with somebody who is in charge there. So we'll have to push. I'll indicate to the chair to really take this matter up seriously. Honorable Bachman?
Chair, I think it's often, I believe that what's happening on the administrative side is not really communicated properly to us or in its entirety to us. We're talking that some people are on strike. They might be in persons, but they're limited to their allotment of what they will do and won't do. I think there's a lot of pressure on Sune's shoulders, as you rightfully said. I think Pumzi's got a, there's no direction. There's no one that's able to give direction and assist us in direction. And all that we're doing at this point in time, until the clarity is sorted. We asked for the clarity more than a month ago, so I'm glad that it's taking place now. But the situation is actually untenable. It's actually getting to a stage where we're planning an oversight, and you just see by the oversight and the contradictions in the meeting that I'm worried that that this committee is holding it together by strings. They're not holding it. It's not cemented. We're all holding different things here, and it's not how it should be. It really is not how it should be. I'm urging that not only is a meeting sought, but I think by the next time we have our meeting, I hope there's actually a resolve, because this is becoming the Faulty Towers or the Mickey Mouse Show, and I really believe that we deserve better than this, and I think the officials deserve better than this. It's actually a message of support to our officials as well. I just think that people are pulling their weight, some people aren't, some people are doing the job of others, and it just becomes this whole show that we just don't have to be here for it. So So okay. I'm hoping that by next week, by the next time we meet, it's actually all sorted out.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, members. Try to tighten this thing because we have agreed now. Try to tighten it.
I'm going to change